Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
I'm rolling whenever you're ready to go.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding. My name is Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mo Dekeel, and welcome to the official second round of the NBA playoffs. Mo, we had to get there with one last game seven. The Los Angeles Clippers, they advance. Somehow did it without Mo Dekeel by their side, but they win 126.
Cheap shots.
No, I'm saying somehow they pulled it off without you.
Just bringing up old stuff, though.
I'm sure we'll have a Twitter thread from Mo breaking it all down soon. But the Clippers, they win 126-111. They take down the Mavs in seven. Kawhi was fantastic again. He had 28 points on 10-for-15 shooting with 10 boards, 9 dimes, and 4 steals, and 0 turnovers in 42 minutes.
Kawhi was phenomenal. Like, let's just, you know, when you go back to even game six in the second half, like, Kawhi just literally said, all right, everybody get on my back. I got you. Unbelievable, the stuff he was doing, especially in game six. And then the way he took control in game seven and began to blow this game open. It's the Kawhi Leonard we've been waiting for, I think, for about a year and a half. I don't know if that's fair to say, Jared, but like,
that's fair.
We didn't see much of this last year with the Clippers. And Kawhi, maybe flashes here and there, but this year, these last few games, this is the Kawhi the Clippers thought they were getting that night in free agency.
There's an intensity to him that's really picked up once they went down 0-2, where he just seems like he's taking command of the game way more. And, you know, he's a quiet guy. He moves in a very methodical yet kind of simple way. Like he's not throwing out a haymaker combination of moves. He's very, very subtle in the way he acts. So you don't feel him out there a lot of the time, but his presence has been overwhelming in these last few games.
Yeah. But especially when it was like, it wasn't even on the offensive end. It was like, okay, I got Luka. You know, and he just took it to another level and how he defended Luka. It really felt like a lot of times like he just had it covered, made it difficult for Luka in each possession that he had. Again, this is all the stuff kind of we've been waiting for. When they went down 0-2, we're like, what the hell are they waiting for? When is Kawhi going to unleash the Kraken? And, you know, he did. He let it out. And this has been just kind of an amazing sort of performance. But this is a good thing in the sense of this will have woken up the Clippers here a bit. I think going through this tough first round series, seven games, I think it'll have done a lot for them, you know, confidence wise, resiliency, all of that. Just good stuff for the Clippers, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, and what was great was he didn't do it on his own. PG didn't do it on his own, who I thought had a great game, even if he didn't shoot that well. But we had, you know, Mook went 7-for-9 from the field. He had 20, or from three, I should say. He had 23 points. Reggie Jackson had another solid shooting night. Terrence Mann continues to play really well. And even Luke Kennard was back in the rotation, and he actually was hitting the shots.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive just the way it was kind of all spread out. You know, Luke Kennard coming in going 3-for-5 from three. It was just like, oh, wow, okay, we're going to start playing him again. And they played him a little bit in game six, too. But this was like the first real two games of extended minutes for him in a while. You know, the Clipper others, as Shaq likes to refer to them, really stepped up in a big way this game, especially the last two. Again, just another level. I mean, the Clipper starters, all five guys in double figures. Nicholas Batum with big dunks, you know, you touched on Morris and Jackson and everybody, just big stuff, and getting a big boost from Terrence Mann. Like, considering he went from also not really playing at the start of this series to getting minutes, just I'm excited for this, for the Clippers. And then we can flash forward to next week where I'm like, oh, they're bums.
And what was really fascinating was they went micro ball with Nick Batum at the five. Zubats only played 2.5 minutes. That's against Boban. It's not just against a team playing a center. It's a team playing the center in the NBA. And it worked really well. Dallas was in zone a lot of the time. And you look at their box score, and it's Luka with 46 points and 14 assists. And then nobody else was really able to score that well for them, except, you know, DFS was decent. Kristaps shot decently from inside the three-point line, but it was 0-for-5 from deep. And the storyline after this game has been about how do the Mavs retool their roster to better support Luka Doncic?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You can't have, outside of Luka, the team go 5-of-25 from three. That's just not going to get it done, you know, and especially in the Western Conference. I think, you know, they got to start looking into who is a second star that's available. Like, there's nobody, I think, really in free agency that I feel very confident about being like, oh, that's the second guy they need. You know, I think they need to bring in another playmaker. We saw it from, you know, Luka kind of wearing down the stretch in these fourth quarters, and it's because he has to carry such a large load. He does need another guy. And the guy they thought Porzingis was, he's just not capable of being that man. And, you know, it sucks. They just have a really expensive role player now in Porzingis. And now they're going to have to figure out how do we find the next guy. And they got some big decisions. Tim Hardaway Jr., I think, is a free agent after this season, and I think that's just kind of going to open up a lot of questions for them. But we know one thing: Luka's a hell of a player, and now it's about you got to just put the right guys in there, shooters, defenders, and somebody that can play make with him.
Yeah, Luka's a young god. I think that's pretty proven at this point. Well, all right, the Clippers, they are facing the Utah Jazz. The series is going to be epic. What's your read on it early on?
I mean, early on, and without really doing plenty of research, meaning absolutely none, my gut says it's going to be the Clippers. I think just it's going to be really difficult for the Jazz to find ways to stop Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And if it's this Kawhi that shows up, that's scary for Utah, because I don't think, as good as Donovan Mitchell is, I don't think he can match Kawhi for shot for shot, and just intensity, because Kawhi is also going to bring it on the defensive end when he clearly has to. So it's going to be very interesting, but I think it's going to be Clippers in six.
And that's with Mike Conley, a bit of an uncertainty with his availability too, which is, you know, like Utah, I mean, Utah could be great, but if you take away one of their best players, obviously that's a big challenge against the way the Clippers seem to be playing in these last few games.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's head over to game one in the East between the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid plays with a torn meniscus and is amazing, and yet the Hawks destroyed them. From the gate, it got really close late, so it was a 128-124 win for Atlanta, but they were up by like 26 points in the second quarter. It was crazy.
Oh, it was blowout central. I mean, this was really something else. The lineup that Doc used to close the first quarter was atrocious. And, you know, no Ben Simmons, no Tobias Harris, no Joel Embiid. You know, no offense to those other five guys that are on the court, but like there was no offense for that group. And at that point, they weren't even defending that well. It just became a snowball effect. The turnovers were an issue for the Sixers in that stretch, even in the first quarter with their main guys. They had 12 total turnovers, I think, in the first half. It became a massive problem for them in how they went about it. And then the way they defended Trae Young in the first half was god-awful, Jared. It was just too easy. One answer they have for sure is Danny Green cannot guard Trae Young.
Danny Green was not effective in this game, no matter how many threes he tried to hit. But you know, what was fascinating was, so when Tobias Harris went out with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter, they were only down by six. When he came back in the game 2 minutes into the second, they were down by 20 already. I mean, it just, that second unit got blitzed so quickly, and they just never were able to really creep back until the very end of the game.
Yeah, and listen, give them credit. You know, apart from that first quarter, it was a close game in the sense of the Sixers crawled into it. They essentially won the second half, so yay for moral victories. They were right in it at the end, Jared. I mean, they were within three a couple of times in the final seconds, mainly because the Atlanta Hawks could not figure out how to bring the ball up the court on multiple possessions in a row. Were out of timeouts, so they couldn't even figure that, you know, advance it in those instances.
Turned it over on an inbound. I mean, it was crazy.
A 5 second count on the inbounds. If it wasn't for a Kevin Huerter Hail Mary right down the middle against the press, I think the Sixers would have won this game. Like it was really turning into a wild scenario, and that the Hawks couldn't close it out. And I'll say this, as bad as everything went for the Sixers, I don't think they should be hanging their heads down that much.
Well, sure. I mean, they got blown out and they still almost won the game. And you're right. I mean, Herter, if he hadn't gotten that pass off in that moment, they were probably going to turn the ball over there. So they got lucky that he threw kind of a somewhat weak bounce pass through the middle of a press and it didn't get picked off. I mean, that could have gone. They could have pulled that comeback off and this could have been looked at as just like a crazy anomaly in their rearview mirror.
It would have been heartbreaking for Atlanta. You know, when you make that kind of have that lead and blow it, it would have been heartbreaking for Atlanta. And it would have been I would have had questions for how they come up. The good things for the Sixers, I think they were much better defensively, much more aggressive on Young. I think it's going to open up things. I think they kind of have an idea now of a game plan, something maybe I don't know you should have done when you came into the game. But hey, like it didn't, you know, it is what it is.
Well, you know what, Trey, he had 35. Bogdan, he had 21. He had a really nice game. John Collins was a warrior. I thought he was really terrific, especially late in the game. And what I thought was fun was both teams that won on Sunday night both hit 23-pointers. It seems as if hitting 23-pointers might be the solution to winning games in the playoffs this year.
Shocker.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. And don't forget to subscribe to The Athletic. Do it at theathletic.com/ding. Mo, another great weekend in sports.
Ding, ding.